This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
I am well nourished.
Well nourished?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I ate two meals already today, Tom.
Breakfast and lunch?
Breakfast and lunch.
We're recording earlier than normal.
Yeah.
Because we're indisposed at the moment. We're overseas.
Yeah. I mean, when you're hearing this, we'll be overseas.
Yeah. We're joining the Navy.
Seeing the world.
They were reluctant to take two men who are almost 40 years old. Not in.
But we know computers, we told them.
We know computer. Well, and I told them I know a little karate.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they need karate guys on Navy ships.
Yeah, what if, like, one of the bad guys, you know, try and land on the, they're like, we'll take this Navy ship for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And all then they're the, like, surely these guys only know how to drive boats.
Yeah.
None of them probably know karate.
Right. And they've got the big guns, you know, if they see the planes coming or the boats coming.
Yeah, but what if a scuba diver climbs
up
the side?
But yeah, once they're actually on the ship, guess what? You got to rely on good old-fashioned karate.
Yeah.
And that's where I come in, sir, which was what I told the
recruiting
officer.
Yeah. Did you, the Navy, they're also submarines?
Yeah. You've seen their new slogan, the Navy, we're also submarines.
Yeah. That sucks. Imagine
who else would be submarines?
I don't know.
I'd be submarines, furious if I,
like,
was the Navy.
It seems like it should be its own branch because it's so different. Yeah, they're not like join the Air Force. You can either fly a plane or a rocket ship to space, right?
Yeah, a little bit. They do some space stuff. They've got this thing. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but they got a spaceship up there right now.
The Air Force?
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume that. But, like, they have astronauts on there. The cowards of the skies.
No, they claim this is an autonomous vehicle up there.
But it's not.
Yeah, but they won't tell anybody.
There's a dog in that thing.
They won't tell anybody what it's for, but it's been up there for, like, 3 or 4 years already.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you find out about this? YouTube videos?
No. It's, I mean, the theories are from YouTube videos, but, like, it is disclosed that it's kind of like the B-47 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up there. It looks like a little space shuttle.
Okay.
Like, it has,
it's
like
in
this,
space.
Yeah. But like, we don't use the space shuttle anymore, or at least that's what they'll have us think. But this thing's up there, and they're like, it's like self-driving or whatever. It's autonomous, and it's up there doing tests.
Is
and
Elon Musk involved with this?
No, it's
self-driving
not
in space, and you're telling
no,
me
no, I think
Musk
it's a Boeing.
Finger-
I think it's a Boeing vehicle. But they're like, cool, what tests is it doing? Nah, we're not going to tell you what tests it's doing. It's like, well, what tests are you doing up there for years? I mean, the what they actually think is like, oh, this thing's like a either a spy satellite or that it has weapons on it. And the idea is like if World War III broke out, they'd be like, all right, rover, like go shoot down all the other satellites up there. Like that's what it's up there doing.
Wow.
Up there for. I guess we'll find out soon.
We definitely will find out within our very short lifetimes.
So the Air Force does do some space stuff sometimes.
Cool. Well, I don't ever want to go on a submarine, so I will not. I'm going to have to beg to get out of this Navy gig.
Well, and in the Navy, I mean, you're saying it should be its own thing, but like within the Navy, I think it's pretty much, I don't think it's like you show up to work on Monday and it's like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be in a ship or a submarine this week.
Maybe, or maybe it's just like, oh, for the rest of my career, am
That's
I going to be
true,
in a
yeah.
ship or a submarine? And they just tell you stuff. From what I understand about the armed forces, they tell you stuff. You have very little recourse.
Yeah.
You They're
can't
in
go,
charge.
I'd rather
second
not.
Second thought, war doesn't seem
it
so
doesn't
palatable
suit
to
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and there are people, you know, there's like a, you know, people on the subs that they're the cooks or whatever. So it's like, oh, I'm just going to be in a...
I'd like to be a cook on a ship. Maybe a cruise ship. Maybe I shouldn't even join the military, Tom.
You should just join Royal Caribbean?
Yeah.
Instead?
Well, that's like all like diarrhea food, right?
Tim, what does that mean? It's all diarrhea. It's,
everybody comes off a cruise ship with diarrhea.
No, not everybody. It's just that when there,
most people,
when there are outbreaks or whatever there of like illnesses, stomach-borne illnesses, you're in a confined space, so it's going to spread pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I haven't been on a cruise ship in a long time, but anytime I've been on a cruise ship, and this was part, again, what I told the recruitment officer. He's like, oh, he marked down, like, been on cruise ships.
Which is a very big plus.
Yeah, he was like, actually, I'm going to put that above the karate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I insisted, no, you keep the karate at number one unless you want a karate chop to the neck.
Oh, wow. And that intimidated him?
Yeah, and he was like, oh, you're a naval officer material.
So part of the Army... or the armed forces, is some of them are shipped overseas. Some of them are in space, apparently, or not in space, wink, wink. And then some of them are just like, you've been, we're putting you in a strip mall in the suburbs to recruit people?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the job that I'd be most suited for. Because I spend most of my time in strip malls. And very, not much of my time on the battlefield, Tom.
Well, I don't think they want people who have spent a lot of time on the battlefield before they join the military.
Why?
Because then it's like, they don't want to hire mercenaries.
Well, then tell that to these guys that I saw at a paintball place one time.
Yeah.
Because they're on the battlefields of Long Island, and they think they're a shoo-in for corporal. Or whatever the rank is.
Well, that's what they're training for on the battlefields of the. Yeah. I was reminiscing about my time playing paintball earlier this week, Tim.
Wow, Tom.
Yeah.
I do not like paintball. Everybody is so serious about paintball when you go to paintball, except for me.
Yeah. I'm not like serious in the. I'm serious during the match.
Yeah.
But like in the beforehand, it's not like, oh, yeah, we don't need to put game phases on or whatever. Yeah. Let's just put the paintballs in the thing.
I also don't like being involved in combat of any sort or shooting any kind of weapon, even if they're just fun paintball weapons.
I'll tell you this much. If I'm playing paintball, every time I've played it, which has only been like a handful of times, I've always thought while I'm doing it, boy, imagine if this was real. Holy moly, would this be stressful. Like, imagine if the fear you have right now of, like, poking your head out that you might get a paintball splat on your head, that it might just blow your head clean off.
Yeah. I don't even like getting hit with the paintball.
Exactly.
To be honest,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, you know what? I would probably just find a really good place to hide if this were all serious. I would definitely
I do my hardest not to be there in the first place.
Right. And I would definitely not like run from this thing that I'm behind to that thing over there.
No. One time we were at a bachelor party for a friend, Tom, and we got mixed in with this whole group of like serious guys that were playing paintball. And I just wanted to shoot my friends with the paintball gun at like
very close
at very like closer range than they tell you is allowed as a bit, because it doesn't hurt that bad. It won't kill them unless you hit them in the wrong place. And then so this other guy who I've never seen, he was in fatigues that he brought from home, and he brought his stuff, and they blew the whistle or whatever, and the thing started, and we were on the same team. And he sprinted by me, and as he was sprinting by me, he slapped me on the back real hard and went, "Cover me!" And I don't know what that means. Right. Like, I know theoretically what it means, but I don't know how
but
to...
But in practice, you don't know
how
to cover.
I don't know
how
to cover someone. And, like, immediately, he just got shot by, like, 15 guys, and he wanted to beat the shit out of me. He was coming over and screaming at me. It was like, even if I had ever shot any kind of anything before, I don't think even an experienced person could have stopped all 15 people from shooting you like that.
Yeah.
But he was angry, and I was just like, I think I'm going to go wait in the car while you guys finish this up.
Yeah, that's it. Like, in real war, I don't think that that's really how it, like, that's how it works in movies. But I think in real war, like, that guy would say to you, like, hey, I'm thinking about going over there. If you covered me, you think I'd make it, or you think they'd
kill
me? Is that
how war works? I didn't think there's a lot of conversation. I don't think you and I are qualified to talk about.
No, I think it would go more that way. Or I think, or
it's
he
not
would
a guy
say,
being
cover
like,
me.
Hey, you pukes, you get over there right now.
I think if a guy was like, cover me, you would then grab him by the, before he ran away, and be like, I can't cover you, man. Look at it. It's a death trap. You're walking into, wait, I'm not going home to your wife and telling her that I lost you, and then I have to marry her.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, we have that in common. We're both sad that you're gone, and we can only find love within each other's hearts and each other's eyes. But then
frequently, I think.
But then I feel overwhelming guilt all the time about what I've done.
Who's gonna raise his son, though, Tom?
I'll raise your son.
Yeah, see.
But I'll resent him.
Why?
Because when I look at him, I just feel the guilt. Oh. I feel the guilt of having married your wife. So your son, he'll resent me, and I'll resent him, and then he'll go into the war business as well.
The war business.
Yeah. It's rough. Tim, this week we're talking the bubbly stuff.
The bubbly stuff. The champagne of waters.
The fizzy stuff. God's soda.
God's soda.
God's soda.
Because it's pure.
Because it's pure like God.
Yes.
God's soda, seltzer itself.
Yeah. It's like the saliva of angels. Ooh, carbonated saliva. That's something that you love in heaven, right, Dom?
Jeez, though.
What? You love carbonated drinks.
Oh, so wait.
Imagine you could have carbonation in your mouth at all times.
Oh, I thought you meant like drinking just a bottle of carbonated saliva.
Well, if it was straight from an angel,
yeah,
that's
well,
fine.
I still probably wouldn't want to drink a bottle of it.
A glass, though?
A glass,
a
sure.
A pint of it is fine.
Yeah. Seltzer. Tim... Let's talk about the elephant in the room first. We're drinking the hard stuff.
Yeah.
The devil's soda.
Spiked seltzer.
Alcoholic seltzer.
Oh, yeah. Now, how do they do that? Oh, White Claw, right?
That's a big brand. Big brand, best brand.
Which I feel within the last 3 or 4 weeks, everybody, like White Claw turned into a meme.
Yeah.
I've been drinking White Claw for up to 12 weeks, I'd say. Seen it in refrigerators.
Well, so I was doing some research, as I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I found an article in July where they said White Claw had experienced 283% growth in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was before it became kind of like a meme and before... which has happened recently, which is that they've issued a statement saying that there's a shortage.
Oh. And that's why they're raising prices?
No, they're not raising prices, but I think they're...
Well, those fools.
but I think that they're probably warning, like, look out there for, the black market. We can't control the black market. They might start raising prices.
Yeah.
I think it was more just like... Hey, don't get mad if you
don't buy other brands.
Well, probably just like, hey, if you don't see us at the supermarket, don't forget for like a month or two until we can catch up. Don't forget about us and then try a different brand and realize like, oh, the other brands are just as good.
Yeah, they're all the same. And the one thing they have in common is that they all taste like candy and not at all like an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, it has no alcoholic taste to it.
They had the seltzers, the alcoholic seltzers, the craze started last summer.
Yes.
But
we were there, me and you. We had it.
Yeah, exactly.
Last summer.
But I work in an office.
Uh-huh.
And there were some of them in the office shared refrigerator.
La-dee-da, I work in an office. I know, Tim, and I work in the mines.
Yeah. White collar, blue collar.
Yeah. That's the name of our new podcast.
At least it would have a hook, for Christ's sakes. And there
it's replacing the current podcast, Military Talk, with Tim and Tom. Military speculation.
Yeah, ill-informed, offensive talk about the armed services. Tom, can we make it clear? We support the troops.
Of course we support the troops.
By keeping them laughing while they're deployed. Yeah, they're like, these boys don't know anything about what I do. They're
show
soft.
Is essentially a USO tour.
Yeah. Hey, keep it up over there.
Or down there for our friends in submarines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tim, stop reminding him of how hellish that is.
Do you think this show has ever been listened to on a submarine?
Yeah, probably.
That's cool.
I mean, I doubt it's ever been like blasted over the speaker so everybody hears it.
Yeah, you think they still have that like old timey like horn speaker thing in there? Yeah, they do. That's the thing that really depresses me about submarines. I feel like the interiors haven't been updated since the 50s.
Yeah, probably
like,
not.
There's still a picture of Eisenhower in each one.
That wouldn't be depressing. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like they surface, you're gonna be like, I got some bad news about Ike.
You've been down there for 60 years.
That's the other thing I'm afraid of. That like you get put down there in a submarine and they don't let you back up for a while because you can't just swim out of there.
Oh no! If you open up the door, it's gonna be trouble for everyone in the sub.
I mean, if they sail you out to sea, you could jump overboard and swim.
Tim, that's not true either.
Probably.
It's not true.
You ever see The Island of Dr. Moreau, the film?
I've read it. Yeah. I lived it. No, there's this guy, this author that I am a fan of, Hugh Howey, and I follow him on Twitter. And
Hugh Hefner.
And he has like a...
He was more of a photographer than an author. He was more of a man about town.
He has like a big boat. Like he lives on like a boat that he had made.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like sails around the world on this boat. But he was writing once about how he's like, yeah, one of the kind of scary things is like I sailed, you know, middle of the ocean all over by myself. And the boat has like an autopilot. And the scary thing is like, sometimes I'll be like peeing over the back of the boat and I'll think like, boy, if I slip, that's it. Like I'm going to fall and the boat's going to keep going and I'm going to die. And it's basically the equivalent of like falling off a roof, but the fall's going to take like 3 days before you hit.
What do you mean it's going to take 3 days?
It's going to take 3 days for him to like finally die.
Why doesn't he wear a backpack with an inflatable raft in it whenever he wants to go pee off the side?
Because even then, he's in the middle of nowhere. And it's just like, yeah, no, there's no chance anyone's going to come across me. I'm just, I'll just, you know, die of exposure.
Hugh Hefner's a known liar, Tom.
But then he's talking about this other guy that he said he knew of. I think it was like a famous guy. And this guy to wake up in the morning would dive off the front of his boat while it was on autopilot, swim under and grab onto a rope that the boat was trailing, knowing that if he missed that grab, that was it. The boat would just keep going and he would, you know.
Why wouldn't he just stop the boat?
What do you mean?
Why would he keep the boat going on autopilot if he wanted to go for a swim?
It wasn't that. It was that he wanted
seeker.
The thrill of like,
it's the
well,
only way you could get the blood flowing in the
morning. Yeah, like, well.
Well, that guy's damaged. Yeah. We shouldn't be celebrating this
behavior. Just have some coffee. That'll get the blood flowing.
Yeah.
Or just enjoy being on a
jog
boat.
Jog around the deck a little bit. Yeah. Or stop the boat and go for a swim and then swim back to the boat.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that. I was thinking, too, I was like, they probably make like a wrist strap or something like Bluetooth where it's like, oh, if this loses connection, yeah, stop the boat.
Yeah.
And let me, oh, but then when you go to swim back, it's like, oh, reconnected.
It's like the trick when somebody goes to get in your car.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could take it off. But then what if a fish gets it?
And then the fish goes.
And then the fish
suddenly
starts,
the fish owns your boat now.
Right. And sleeping with your wife.
That would be fun if they put a thing like that on a shark, and then the shark just had a boat following him wherever he went for the rest of his life.
Why would that be fun?
I don't know.
Do you think the shark would even notice? I mean, the shark.
Why do you assume this is for the shark's benefit?
I don't know, because if the shark did notice, I think it would probably just like stress it out until it died.
Yeah, one less shark. Sharks are our enemy, right? We would like
Tim. When I was a kid, I did not understand like why everybody wasn't united. Of like, well, finally one day we're gonna get rid of all these snakes.
Yeah, just wipe out the sharks.
No, not
now
the
I
sharks,
understand.
But the snakes.
Oh, the snakes.
Yeah, sharks we need, but snakes we don't need. Snakes.
We need snakes.
They like barely even eat.
We still don't understand how snakes move.
That's not true.
That's 100% true.
It's not.
We have a pretty good handle on it, but we don't really understand.
You can go
understand.
To the pet store and figure it out. Just watch it move around.
Little legs?
It's not little legs, Tim.
That's what scientists don't know
no,
at this
it's
point.
Slithering.
Yeah, but you can't sliver like that.
Slither, not sliver.
Oh. Seltzer.
What were we talking about before we started talking about the military and
just about all this. Oh yeah. In my office fridge,
yeah.
They had, the hard seltzer in there.
We just have a bucket in the mines and it's full of, dirty water. Oh. Well, and sometimes it is piss. And... Yeah.
Anyway, there's, the people would just. You know, it'd be 11 a.m. and be like, oh, I'll go for a seltzer. And you would drink a whole thing before somebody had to come up to you and be like, oh, that's not like a LaCroix or something.
That's alcoholic.
That's got alcohol in it. And you can't taste it.
Right.
And it's packaged kind of the same and just kind of the, like it does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's got like it doesn't look like a beer can.
It doesn't have three X's on it, which is all the booze that I drink.
Right, so you know.
Yeah, and so there have been a number of mishaps in my office. My company's going out of business because of it. So if you're a small business owner, do not stock hard seltzer at the office for use after hours.
Or keep it locked up in the boss's office.
Yeah, the boss is always getting
drunk. Well, make sure the boss doesn't have a drinking problem.
Every boss has a drinking problem.
Yeah, because they got to deal with all the knuckleheads.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't become the boss by having one, but once you're there, you're like, ugh, pour me a stiff one. I got to figure out the budgets now.
Or pour me a loose one, you know, seltzer, alcoholic seltzer.
That's what they call a loose one?
Yeah, because like a stiff one is going to be like you're going to drink it and go like,
yeah,
that burns. But a loose one.
You're just gonna go,
is that even alcohol?
Ah, like that.
Yeah. So I was reading an article about the hard seltzer boom.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what publication it was in, but it was by that guy, Josh Barrow.
Okay.
And he was
probably in New York Magazine.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's who he writes for.
All right. So we're crediting the author.
Yeah. Look, don't get us involved in all this plagiarism stuff. But he was talking about the hard seltzer, and he made a really good point, which was, and look, we're not just going to talk about a hard seltzer. We're going to talk about the soft seltzer, too.
Yeah, you can't have a hard without the soft.
That's the real loose stuff.
Yeah.
But he said, he was like, everybody thinks this is a fad. This is not a fad, and I'll tell you why, because this is filling an unserved desire in the market, which is to have vodka soda in a can.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And which they do have.
In
I remember
the UK.
Walking around on the street in the UK drinking a vodka soda in a can.
Yeah.
And just being like, why don't they have this in like, why can't you just walk around the city drinking this in New York? And now I'm actually kind of glad.
Yeah. And he was just saying, look, people drink vodka soda because it doesn't have taste, essentially. It's like the most neutral thing you can drink. And that's what people want. And he said the difference is that, you know, a vodka soda is what vodka is normally like 40% alcohol. So then you put some soda in there. The drink is probably still 10 to 20% alcohol, the entire drink.
Right.
Whereas these are 5% alcohol. And the difference is because these are brewed and not distilled. And I think legally you can't sell distilled single drinks in cans in the U.S. or most states or whatever. You never see it.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he was saying it's a tax thing.
Because from Grub Street, Josh Barrow's article.
Grub Street.
How tax policy gave us White Claw.
Yes.
September 4th, 2019. Citing our sources here, like true heroes.
True professionals.
Yeah. Now I'll just read it verbatim.
But I didn't realize that that's the difference between, like, I thought, like, hard seltzer at first was kind of just a, like, oh, they just found, like, a different way to package, you know, wine spritzers and yeah. Zima to people. But that's not true, because a lot of that stuff is fermented, like, grains or barley or whatever, like how you make beer. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that stuff is very, like, citrusy tasting is that that's what they have to do to make it not taste like beer, not have that beer taste. This they make with sugar.
Nice.
So then it just, it doesn't have that same taste to it. It tastes very nice,
yeah,
in my opinion.
That's what God's beard is made of.
That's what God's beard tastes like.
Yeah.
Seltzer.
No, sugar.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, cotton candy.
Ooh, God's got a cotton candy beard.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
And, carbonated saliva.
Oh, God, that's like a...
A makeout session with God is delicious.
Well, it just sounds like it's, I don't know, probably like sticky a lot.
Yeah, know? God's pretty sticky.
Well, heaven's probably air-conditioned.
Yeah. Oh, it's not air-conditioned like you walk into a freaking J. Crew,
right, and
in
it's like
Manhattan
freezing
in August, and you're just like, there needs to be a middle ground here.
Yeah,
guys.
This is too cold.
It's a meat locker in here, and yeah. I've been in a meat locker before.
Right, you used to work at a butcher shop.
Yeah, so I know exactly what that's like.
Is that what you tell?
And the J. Crew in Soho is just like
is that
it.
What you tell, like, the 17-year-old J. Crew? And look, I've been in a meat locker. I know what a meat locker feels like. Do you need any help?
Was
with
that
anything,
one of the
sir?
Kennedys at that point? Because none of the Kennedys have ever been in a meat locker.
Yeah, but we've been in the J. Crews. We've been in the Hollisters.
I do feel like Kennedys have had, like, people put into meat lockers.
As a goof, yeah.
Yeah, as a goof, but then it went wrong, and then it had to be...
Kenny Bungport.
Yeah, then they had to, you know, had to make a call to the authorities.
Yeah.
Those rascally Kennedys.
I think that was all I had to say about the hard seltzer.
Yeah, I think you just wanted to do this episode because you said, I have a tie-in, and then brought
no,
out
No, I said,
this...
I have a tie on.
You're not wearing a tie.
I took it off because I didn't want to make you feel intimidated.
Thank you. I think we should wear ties when we record.
Oh, you would love that, wouldn't you? Mr. White Collar against
yeah.
me, the blue collar miner.
You can wear a denim shirt with a tie. Just look at Jay Leno.
No, you just want me to wear a tie so you can be like, oh, that's the only tie you got? It's all covered in soot.
Yeah, so what? Most of my ties are covered in soot.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Now. Tim, let's talk about the soft stuff.
Seltzer,
regular old seltzer. Let me tell you this. Let me give you a personal anecdote. And then after that, I'll give you the personal antidote to I've poisoned your seltzer.
I tasted it. It's pretty bitter, Tom.
Yeah, well, that's your liver's eating itself right now.
Yeah, well, gotta go sometime.
Tim, as you know, I'm a soda fanatic. Yeah. I love the fizzy stuff. I love colas in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I love diet colas.
Yeah.
I love colas with, whatchamacallit in it? The fake
sassafras.
It's not sassafras.
Well, that's
saccharin.
What I like.
Saccharin.
I like sassafras. That's what makes a root beer, right?
Is it?
I think root beer comes root from of a the sassafras root. Yeah.
Huh. Now,
what
drink did they make succotash with?
What is succotash?
Succotash is a dish.
Oh yeah,
it's like
I've
a
never...
casserole or something. Yeah. What were we talking about?
You were talking about how you love soda with saccharin in it.
I love soda with saccharin in it. No, I love what's the one that I love? Not stevia, Splenda.
Splenda.
So like the Coca-Cola zero sugar, the Pepsi zero sugar. Those I love.
Right.
Around.
Do you like root beer?
Yeah.
Do you like Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
Do you like Sprite with lime in?
Look, I there's not a soda alive that I'll turn down.
Yeah, there's like blue cheese soda and stuff.
What? No, there's not.
Yeah, there is. There's like weird.
Oh, yeah. But
niche
I mean,
sodas.
What? That's like, you know, when they make like vomit flavored jelly beans.
No, people like that.
No, I don't think so. People like you know, to mix it up that makes them feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at I'm drinking blue cheese soda. But you know what? I probably would like blue cheese soda. But my favorite,
you can get it from WT Heck Soda.
Yeah, I think I have seen that brand, actually.
Yeah.
They have all the wacky flavors.
Yeah. It's an appropriate name.
Yeah. Oh, I see. What the heck?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, so that's not a... You're not out there selling Coca-Cola and are like, what the heck? You won't believe this. Cola-flavored soda.
Right.
Because people like cola. Anyway, around the turn of the year, I was like, I'm drinking too much damn soda.
Yeah.
I gotta do something about this. So I stopped buying soda for my home. I will still buy soda while I'm out and about.
Like every time you're out and about. You used to not leave your home very much, and now you leave your home all the time just because you
just
crave
to get
soda.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a great, you know.
It's a good incentive to get out there.
It's like a double-edged sword, but good.
Right.
A double-edged sword.
A double-edged sword can be good.
Yeah, if you're fighting an enemy.
Yeah, and you put it out there. If you're fighting two enemies,
yeah.
And then you put it out there, you hold it out there in front of you, and then make the two enemies run into each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, if they were running into each other to high five before they came to
yeah.
beat
and
you.
You can even, if you're really good and time it right, just toss that double-edged sword in between them.
Yeah.
And run away.
You should wear like a leather glove, though, so you don't get cut holding
yeah.
up the...
Is there a handle in the middle? Like Darth Maul's lightsaber?
Yeah, that's kind of... Yeah, I guess Darth Maul has a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Look where it got him. I think he died.
No, you thought he did in that movie, but then he came back in, like, the cartoons, and then, spoiler alert, the end of Solo. The Han Solo movie.
Cool.
Yeah, so he's alive.
I can't wait till we go to Galaxy's Edge.
You know how much that hotel they said it's going to be?
$100 a night.
$1,000 a night.
Really?
Yeah.
Per room?
Yeah.
So we'll I don't think I'm going
to
go there.
We'll have to share a room. We'll have to get a bunch of us to share one room.
I mean, if they're going to come to us for Jedi missions in the middle of the night, we're going to have to.
Yeah, but what if they're like, Ian, only one of you can come?
I'll be pissed.
Yeah, I'll take out my double-edged sword and be like, you're going to take both of us, see? Yeah.
Actually, I'd probably be like, I'd rather sleep.
Yeah, now that I'm
very
tired. Now that I'm asleep, I would rather just say so. I've been walking around all the gift shops and everything all day. So I stopped drinking. I stopped buying cola for the home, for the house.
Right.
As I started buying seltzer
for the home,
for the house.
Have you ever considered drinking water, Tom?
I drink water all the time. It's called seltzer water. No, I drink regular water too. I actually just replaced my water filter today.
Wow, Tom.
Yeah, that's how much water I drink that I blew through a filter.
How long did it take? I've blown through a Brita water filter in 2.5 days.
How did you know?
It gets so overworked. It's like, please.
Please, sir. I have a wife and kids.
They don't. They're water filters, Tom.
Oh, that's what you say to it?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, just remind me of my miserable existence.
Yeah.
So I've been drinking a lot of seltzer.
That would be a shitty Pixar movie if it was like...
just a water filter?
Did you know your Brita water filters... come to life and you close the refrigerator door.
And it wants nothing more than a family of its own, but it's...
But
it
nothing can't. Else in the refrigerator is alive.
Yep. So it just, you know, talks to your inanimate cheese about its desires to start a family.
It's not like the cast of the hilarious film Sausage Party is also in the...
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
The refrigerator. Yeah.
And I like all the people involved in that. Yeah. For the most part, but not good.
You don't like cartoon food products telling sex jokes? What's wrong with you?
Thing was, it wasn't even just sex jokes. You got to see him have sex a lot of times.
Really?
It was like too explicit for my taste.
Yeah.
To leave something.
You fainted at the movie theater.
Well, leave a little something to the imagination.
Yeah.
About, you know, how two donuts would have sex.
Yeah. Well, now I'm curious. Now I have to watch that film.
I
watched the first 5 minutes of this film of that film, and I was like, "This is not for me."
I think I went to the movie theater, and I almost like walked out.
Wow!
I'll never walk out of a movie once I've paid my money.
I've walked out of a movie. You just walk into another movie, Tom.
No, that's true. I do that after a movie's done anyway.
Yeah.
Tim, let me tell you a little something about how seltzer, God's water. God's soda.
God's saliva.
It should be God's water.
Yeah, that's right.
Because water's God's water.
Yeah. Wine is God's water.
That's Jesus' water.
Should talk to him about that.
No, Jesus' blood is wine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's God's saliva.
It was thought that the first person to aerate... So I should say this up top. God's seltzer water is mineral water.
Right.
Because that's natural bubbly water,
right.
Fizzy water.
So there's a difference between mineral water, seltzer, club soda, and tonic water.
Yes.
Tonic water is
quinine.
Gross. What's right? that?
Is quinine in it?
Yeah, quinine.
Quinine.
Quinine. Q-U-I-N-I-N-E.
Yeah. And what is that?
It was originally used to treat malaria.
Does it still work?
No. I don't think it ever did.
Work?
Yeah, no.
It's like a snake oil type thing?
Yeah, the FDA recently banned its use as a cure for leg cramps. If you drink it, you can get headaches and fever, and sometimes bad reactions have been fatal.
What the hell? All right. Enough with tonic water then.
Why are you making tonic water? Not even like, I doubt many people. I bet.
Well, people have gin and tonics. G&Ts, they call them.
Yeah. And I'll have a gin and tonic
sometime.
Or
if you're Billy Joel, you call them tonic and gins.
Yeah. Well, it made the rhyme work. Made a classic rhyme work.
Yeah.
Davey was in the Navy.
That's true. I wonder if he was on a sub.
Yeah, I mean, he's in it for life.
He
but
joined the club to be in a sub and...
Wow, yeah. Yeah. And? Put bread in my jar. Ah, man. Tom, we're going to see Billy Joel pretty soon.
Tim, you've been saying this on so many episodes.
I know, but
for months.
By the time this episode comes out,
it will be even closer.
Yeah, it'll be less than 2 weeks away from when this episode drops. Wow. Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting. I can't wait.
I'm going to put bread in his jar.
Tim, they have men stationed on.
Man, what are you doing here?
They have men stationed on either end of the stage to prevent people like you from
putting
up
bread in his jar.
Yeah, because Tim,
once he sees the cold hard cash in my hand, he'll be like, "Let him on."
Yeah, no, Tim, you're saying that now, but I know you're gonna bring in a roll, like an Italian bread.
Yeah, I wish I could bring in a loaf of bread into Madison Square Garden. They are tight with the security there, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can buy it. I'm sure they probably have like a stand. You know how there are places where like you go see the opera or whatever and they sell flowers there so you can throw them at the performers. Yeah, presumably.
Have you ever been to the ballet? Have you ever been to either the opera or the ballet?
Yeah, I go to ballet and the opera all the time. They probably have like a stand where you can buy bread to put in Billy Joel's jar.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I bet he's just like, I'll dip it in the marinara sauce.
Yeah, and then he's taking...
And then he'll be like, Brenda and Eddie are the populist Eddie.
So, wait, when you put it in, that's what gets him singing?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if you don't keep him fed with bread...
Yeah,
Billy Joel's getting back on the helicopter, going back to Long Island.
And you gotta keep him fed. His favorite is bread. And if you don't do it, you'll be dead.
Well, no, he just leaves.
Well, and when you'll wish you were dead.
I saw Billy Joel speak less than a year after 9/11, and he was talking about how the original 9/11. Or like the 9/11 2001. It wasn't like I saw him in May of friggin' 2014.
Yeah.
No, I saw him and he was giving like a talk to college students,
mm-hmm.
of which I was one. And he was telling, it was almost as if it were a heroic story about how they had a big benefit concert at Madison Square Garden for like all the first responders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was like dead air for a good 10 minutes while he argued about something contractual. He's like, and I almost got screwed on the residuals if they ever plan to do derivative works from this. And he was just like, and this should teach all you college students, value your work and never go on stage unless you have everything in writing. And it's like, well, you didn't have to argue at the 9/11 benefit for the first responders.
Yeah, where it was like, yeah, probably.
Well,
I'm
going to need a piece of this if I'm going to go on stage.
Well, and probably it's like, yeah, they didn't get all that stuff in the contract because they were trying to like get this up on its feet quickly. Yeah. So, and everybody had good faith of like, yeah, we're not going to do a derivative, you know, release an album of all your songs from this recording and then screw you up.
I don't know. Somebody probably would have.
Yeah.
It was probably savvy of him to do, but like that's a thing that like you had to do, and like he probably did have to protect himself in that way.
Yeah,
but like don't brag talk about it. Yeah. 6 months later, anyway,
quinine. Don't drink it.
Yeah,
unless you like it.
Club soda is different from seltzer, right?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Because they add minerals.
Yeah, it has like a saltier taste. It has more sodium in it.
Yeah.
Did you know that soda is sodium water? That's where it comes from?
Sodium water?
Yeah, give me one of them sodium water, sodium water, sodium water, sodium water, soda, so, soda.
Yeah, that's and over time.
Yeah, telephone game, you know, they're like, he asked for a soda water, soda water, soda water, soda, and it went down the line until it got to the guy.
I know. Seltzer's just water that they put carbon into.
Carbon dioxide.
Right.
Yeah, carbon would... That would not taste good.
Well, actually, I pass most of my water through carbon, right? No? What are the Brita filters made of?
Yeah, I believe they are carbon filters. Yeah.
So, and that's why, that's what causes them to come to life in my film.
Yeah, they're carbon-based life forms.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So, you know, in the old days, they had to rely on God to make seltzer.
Sparkling mineral.
Yes. But then it's thought the first person to aerate water with carbon dioxide was William Brownrigg in 1740, although he never published a paper.
Yeah, I make stuff all the time. I don't publish a paper about it.
Well, so
you got to publish a paper?
Yeah. Well, so he didn't publish a paper and he got screwed because carbon.
Oh, like he didn't patent it? The carbonation process?
Yes. Carbonated water was.
I guess that's what patenting is publishing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carbonated water was independently accidentally invented by Joseph Priestley, not to be confused with Jason Priestley from 90210, in 1767. So 27 years later, this guy...
He accidentally did it?
Yeah.
What the fuck was he doing?
I'll tell you what he did,
accidentally
Tim.
Carbonated water. He discovered, like, I better drink this.
He discovered a method of infusing water with carbon dioxide after suspending a bowl of water above a beer vat at a brewery in Leeds, England. He wrote of the... peculiar satisfaction he found when drinking it. And in 1772, so even long, you know, 5 years later, he published a paper entitled Impregnating Water with Fixed Air. The publication in which he published this that would print an article called Impregnating Water with Fixed Air, I don't know.
The old hustler.
Something like that. Priestley's apparatus, which featured a bladder between the generator and the absorption tank to regulate the flow of carbon dioxide, was soon joined by a wide range of others. However,
Tom, do you think this is interesting what you're saying, or that anybody's listening?
It wasn't
to
until 1781 that carbonated water began being produced on a large scale, with the establishment of companies specializing in producing artificial mineral water.
Artificial.
The bladder was replaced with large bellows.
Like you have
in a fireplace. Yeah. So they would just blow the carbon dioxide in there.
Man, if you've ever been around a fireplace with somebody under the age of 11, they love that bellows.
Tim, I'm telling you, I love that bellows.
Yeah,
and
it's always like, hey, put that down. Yeah. Stop playing with that.
My niece apparently has been fixated with trying to get into the chimney, into the fireplace my brother's house.
That'll be nice now that winter's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Once the fireplace gets into use, then she'll probably not be interested in it anymore.
I mean, if it gets hot enough, a baby's going to like turn around and be like, eh, this is probably...
Probably. You get pretty close, it gets pretty hot.
It's the opposite of me and J. Crew. When I walk into J. Crew and I'm like, it's too cold, and I turn around and there's nothing for me there. Their stuff doesn't fit me right. I'm of a
peculiar body dimensions.
I am of a peculiar, I'm like halfway between
a man and a
small
boy.
And medium size, and there's the... I feel like I need to get all my clothes custom made.
I thought you shopped in the Husky Boys section.
I think that's probably my best bet.
Yeah, they got a Husky Boys section in J. Crew, don't they?
I don't know.
You should go in there and ask, you have anything for a Husky Boy like me?
Yeah, I am kind of a Husky Boy.
You're too tall to be a boy, and you're not Husky
Boys
enough.
These days are tall.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I was hoping it would make sense as I was saying it.
Another interesting thing I found out about this, Tim, which will contradict your idea that soda water, seltzer water, is any kind of saliva, which is that they were trying to figure out health benefits or detractions about it. Mm-hmm. The only thing was that it's a little more acidic than regular water. So
yeah,
they were
it
like,
hurt your teeth.
They were like, that could be bad. But they said it's the acidity is so mild that it is neutralized by saliva. So saliva can't be club soda.
Tom.
Because it would.
God's saliva can be anything, though. Everything that God wants to eat is immediately neutralized.
But then that would mean you wouldn't taste anything? I mean, sometimes you want something that's a little acidic.
Yeah, yeah, no, it won't harm him.
Well, yeah, eating acidic things doesn't harm you necessarily.
I mean, her.
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, I know.
All right.
She is a woman. Did I just blow your mind?
You did. Are you going anywhere with this?
No. All right. Well, you're just reading the Wikipedia for seltzer.
No, I took some notes.
I know, but it was, you weren't even paying attention to the words you were reading.
Back in the old days, you know what they called seltzer water when they would order it at like the you know, they'd be like, hey, soda jerk.
Well, that's not nice.
That's what they called them, soda jerks.
Well, that's not nice.
Yeah, I don't know why they were called jerks.
Because they jerked down the handles.
The soda. They would say, give me 2 cents plain.
2 cents plain.
Yeah.
2 bits.
And that meant a soda water. Because back then, if you wanted flavoring added, like cola or, you know, cherry or whatever, that was an additional 3 cents for the syrup.
He'd
say, give me 2 cents plain, see?
So it was for cheapos.
It was for cheapskates, yeah.
Because now a seltzer costs the same as a can of soda.
Yeah, you get the flavoring for free.
Yeah. Wow, what a time. It amazes me that, we're recording this in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Why doesn't somebody open a goddamn old-timey soda shop where it's, you know, you mix it the way that a soda jerk did in the past?
I'm sure there are places like that. I've had things like that.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have, Tim.
What have you had?
I've had, like, old-timey sodas.
Where? Where they mix them? Where they put some 2 cent plain and then and then add some syrups?
Yeah, I go.
Where?
You know what? The market's been friendly to me. Put in some syrup. Put in some chocolate syrup.
Chocolate?
Yeah. Give me a chocolate water.
What? Where have you had this before?
I don't know, but I've had it before.
I think you're lying.
At like a theme.
You
can get it at Johnny Rockets.
I don't think Johnny Rockets exists anymore, Tom.
Yeah, it exists. I went to a Johnny Rockets once on a cruise ship.
Tom, you're going to get diarrhea twice from that. You're going to get the worst kind of diarrhea.
So give me 2 cents plain and give me 2 cents plain and diarrhea twice over.
Yeah, jeepers, creepers.
I'll just hang my ass off the side.
No! Tom!
I'm falling off,
so
and now
dangerous.
The boat's going without me.
Brother, I
should have been wearing the wrist strap. Why wouldn't you just always have a real, real, real long rope trailing behind you?
Yeah.
If I was out...
Well, a shark could...
get on the ship.
Yeah. Could just eat his way up the rope until it suddenly was on the ship.
Did you see this news article this week about... I didn't, like, you know... poor reading comprehension, but it was like some underground laboratory and they like hadn't heard from it in a while, and they went down there and all they found was like the frayed edge of the like wire, and the whole like laboratory was gone.
No.
Yeah.
What kind of underground laboratory was
underwater
this?
Laboratory. So they were like,
never go under the sea.
Like a sea monster ate it, presumably.
Probably.
Yeah.
There are legit sea monsters down there.
Yeah.
Monsters of the Deep. Just ask James Cameron about that.
What do you think? You think there's a lot of weird stuff under the ocean that like we have no idea?
Yeah.
Alien bases.
Oh, alien bases? No, I think there's creatures that we'd just be like, whoa, never saw that before.
Yeah. You think any of them can talk?
Nah. How would they talk? It'd be like,
welcome under the sea.
That'd be nice if they're friendly. Welcome.
Yeah. You ever drink a whiskey and soda? I never get whiskey and soda, so maybe that should be my new go-to drink.
I get a vodka
drink.
Soda.
Yeah.
I get a whiskey and ginger ale.
Whiskey and ginger ale is better, but you know, ginger ale sugary, of course, but then also like you can get a bad ginger ale sometimes.
What are you talking to, Schweppes?
No, Schweppes is nice, but I'm saying like, you know, if they're using the soda gun, sometimes it's like, nobody really orders ginger ale here, so we got like stale ginger ale
ale, nobody wants it.
Or like watery ginger ale or something like that.
Yeah, I like a real, look, this is going to make me sound like an asshole, but I like a more artisanal ginger ale where, like, you really taste the ginger, right? Because a Schweppes, it's sugar and a little bit of ginger there, but, like, I really like an almost like, this is maybe too spicy.
No, I disagree. Well, I don't like ginger.
Well, then what are you drinking a ginger ale for?
Because I want an artificial ginger ale. I want the artificial ginger taste.
Yeah, what else is...
I'm surprised my dog's not going crazy as we keep saying her name over and over. Yeah.
What is as good as that? Or what is in that same realm where the artificial version is better than the actual version?
I feel like that's the case for like certain fruit flavors.
Sour apple.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a real sour apple's disgusting. Like it's like, oh, this apple's gone
it's
bad.
It's tart.
Yeah. But but fake sour apples, one of the best tastes out there.
Yeah. I prefer pepperoni to pepperoni.
That's the same. Let me tell you this.
That's for dogs.
Don't ever get your dog pepperoni, because then every time you have pepperoni, it's going to think that it's for you. It's for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, how often do you have pepperoni in the house, Tom?
Not very often anymore, yeah, I can tell you that much.
Brother.
That happens a lot, though, because I give her chicken jerky, and then once in a while, I have like a jerky for me. And she doesn't understand. She's like, hey, that's the same thing. I should just start eating her chicken jerky. I started getting like more expensive one. It claims that it's human grade chicken.
Human grade chicken sounds very... Wait, what's going on here?
I think it's just that they're very smart chickens.
Ooh.
They've been like...
They're the ones that can do math and play tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, they've like fiddled with them genetically.
Chicken has beaten a human, like a dim-witted human.
But a human nevertheless. Yeah. Tim, how much would you pay for...
2 bits, 2 cents.
A soda gun in your home. So I used to have one of those, what were they called?
Soda streams.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say jet streams. I used to have one of those jet streams. Sorry.
What's happening over there?
Programming's not working. I never really used it. It was like kind of a pain because you would have to get the CO2 refilled.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go, I would have to go to like Bed Bath and Beyond to get new ones.
Which isn't a bad place to just do a loop around every once in a while.
I guess. And I think that's why they do it, because they're like, yeah, get them into Bed Bath & Beyond. They'll buy other stuff
some stupid gadgets while they're there.
Yeah, but there's no Bed Bath & Beyond really near me, so it was a pain.
You know.
And anytime I went to do it, they were always just kind of like, huh, you want to do what? And it's like, oh, the website said I could exchange this. I'm like, oh, let me get the manager.
Yeah.
Maybe they know what the hell you're talking about.
The people at Bed Bath & Beyond are great.
Okay.
I mean that sincerely. They're all very friendly and cheerful. The employees of the few Bed Bath & Beyond locations that I've been in. And I've been in a few.
All right. Well, there you go. Tim's endorsement for Bed Bath & Beyond.
It's not a paid endorsement either.
No, I didn't say it was.
Yeah, I know. I just want everybody to be clear.
Unsolicited endorsement.
Yeah.
So I never liked the Jetstream or Jet. Oh no, it's happening
soda
again.
Soda stream. Tom, it's the word that you say more than any other word. Soda stream.
But how much would you pay if you could have a bar style soda gun right next to your right in your sink?
I'll tell
right
you two
next
things.
To the one you pull out, and you probably do it accidentally all the time. You go and wash your dishes with Coca-Cola. But how bad would that be?
First, there's a number of things here. Number one, uh-huh. You act like there would be no maintenance of this or no replacement of either the soda.
Yeah, so this is going to be like a magical one where like, I don't know, a man comes into your
house.
I pay
money
for
a magical lot of things.
Well, let's not say magical. Let's say part of buying this is that like a man comes.
So it's a subscription service, which is smart. It's a smart business to get into, a subscription service.
I'm putting it out there as we should be offering this. We'll replace the water gun in your sink with a soda gun. And guess what, though? You can still use it to wash dishes with water or Coca-Cola if you want.
I mean, the ones in the bar can shoot out regular
water.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Here's my problem with it, Tom, or with you. You're just trying to circumvent. You're trying to find a loophole for your no soda in the house. And if you're like, oh, no, it's a magical gun in my sink.
Yeah,
I can't help
it.
It
comes from the utilities company.
Yeah, I'm not buying it from the supermarket.
It comes through the pipes.
You know, balloon up to 800 pounds.
Oh, I think I even got finished saying that.
Pre-diabetic within a month.
That when I changed over, I lost like 30 pounds in like no time.
Yeah.
And I was drinking diet soda, but diet soda is not good for you either. It fucks with your body. It makes it all weird.
I mean, everything we put into our bodies is terrible.
Not seltzer water, Tim.
It's bad.
It's not bad. All the scientists
have looked
into it. You
know this vaping disease that's happening? There's going to be something with all this, everybody drinking LaCroix and stuff. They're going to be like, oh, yep, LaCroix liver is killing people at an alarming rate.
The vaping disease, hey, I don't think it's actually like a disease. It's like an epidemic or whatever.
Right.
They don't really know what it is yet, but they're pretty sure that it's related to like black market vapes. Right. That it's like, oh, people are putting, they're cutting, they're diluting this stuff, and they're putting something in there that they shouldn't.
Tom, we should disclose that you are on Juul's payroll, right? So you're here, you're going to defend.
When you think I got one of these Juuls stuffed up my nose the whole time we're doing this thing?
No, I meant Juul, the Alaskan folk singer.
Yeah. I live in her car now. Wow. The same car that she lived in when she was writing all the songs.
Look. I know that's one of the main things that we know about Juul. And
she's
from
Alaska.
That living...
And she wants to know who's going to save her soul.
Right. No, she wants to know who's going to save your soul, Tom.
What? Oh, I misheard that song.
But how long do you think
And she put out that book
car?
Of poetry.
Yeah.
How long did she live in her car?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it in Alaska? Because that's rough. It's cold up in Alaska.
Yeah, it is. Remember when Kurt Loder attacked her over something like a grammatical error in her book of poetry?
Vaguely, yeah.
And it's like, Kurt Loder, I get it. But if you're going to get into like pop stars and rock stars, their use of the English language, you don't have to go after Juul. There's other stuff here.
To go after her for?
No, you can go
How
after...
long did she live in that car?
I'd like to know.
I don't think she even claimed it was like that long.
Yeah.
I mean,
she had a lot of good angles when she came out. And she was very talented. She is she remains a very talented singer-songwriter.
I mean, if either of us had to live in our car for even like a week, we would talk about that forever. I'd be like, well, I lived in my car once.
I mean, you replaced your water filter and you freaking brought that up. I'm pro
Juul. I'll tell you what I'd like to replace my water filter with, a soda gun.
Yeah. Pro Juul, pro Bed Bath & Beyond employees, and support the troops.
You're like a regular suburban mom, Tim.
What do you mean?
You like Bed Bath & Beyond, you like Juul, you like supporting the troops. These are all bumper stickers you can get.
Yeah. Well, about Bed Bath & Beyond and Juul?
Yeah, I'm sure you get some custom ones made. I'm sure at Juul concerts, they sell bumper stickers. I feel like I've seen Bed Bath & Beyond bumper stickers.
All right, Tom. Do you have anything else before we wrap it up about a seltzer?
A seltzer would do me well, sir.
But?
But, what's the rest of my catchers?
Ah, man.
But a wine would be extra fine. Something like that. Yeah. That's I'm always saying it.
Oh, no. They sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, man, what are you doing here?
So when they're saying, man, what are you doing here, was it more like you're too talented?
I think so. I think it's a very self-aggrandizing song.
Yeah.
He's just like, look at this rogues gallery of losers here. And they're all like, what are you doing here? You're great.
Yeah. You're not a loser like the rest of us, Billy.
Yeah, I'm in the Navy. I probably will be for life. I'm a real estate novelist. I never had time for a wife.
A real estate novelist, what does that mean? Mm. He writes novels about real estate?
Probably.
Is that he writes the ads?
Maybe.
And they're little novels.
Look, if you go onto a realtor's website, why don't you read some of those descriptions of the places, they might as well be a work of fiction. You know what I mean?
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter at @completeguide. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
If you want to support the show, support our sponsors. Check them out. Also, check out tcgte.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping. And patreon.com/completeguide for our second show, Books the Podcast. This week, we are starting off a new book, right? Is that how the timing works out?
Yeah. So,
called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
What?
We'll find out. Mm. It is the book that they based the film Blade Runner on.
Oh, I'm going to watch Blade Runner at the end of all this?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. One of us reads a book, the other one watches a movie about it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Patreon.com/completeguide.
And thank you if you came to our shows in London. And if you didn't come to our shows in London, you fucked up.
Tim, now that you've had I've only had one.
Yeah.
What is your review of these hard seltzers?
They taste like candy and I like them.
Yeah.
Because this is probably admitting a little bit of an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, but I don't like drinking alcohol.
You don't like the taste of alcohol.
But I like the way it makes me feel. And I forget that I'm drinking alcohol when I'm drinking these. And then all of a sudden I'm like, why do I feel relaxed and wonderful all of a sudden? It's like, oh, yeah. I was drinking this this fun, sugary drink I was drinking, actually. Yeah.
Well, maybe you should just learn to like the taste of alcohol.
Yeah, that's certainly what we should all be striving
for. It sounds
for.
Like you're not tying the taste of alcohol with how it makes you feel enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, if you could drink, like, a non-alcoholic whiskey or something, you'd be like, why would I drink this? This tastes like a...
It's a look cool.
Like I'm, wringing out a sweaty gym sock.
Yeah.
Or something. But...
What happens to you at the gym?
But when you start to realize that the way whiskey makes you taste is associated with that, or the way whiskey makes you feel is associated with that taste.
I know that, Tom. I've been drinking whiskey
like,
long
you're
enough.
You're like, man, I really like the taste of whiskey, but that's why.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have another one of these seltzers.
Okay. Yeah. Why not? Hey. Why not? We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.